This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am indeed Paul Molloy, and along with my friend and buddy, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us on this Wednesday morning, September the 18th. We got a lot going on today. In a few minutes, Carrie McDonald of the Cato Institute is going to be with us to talk about why school choice is good for people that homeschool their kids. I think you're going to find it very interesting. You know, homeschooling has grown in the last 50 years, helping shape new training methods as well, you know, to teach kids. So looking forward to that. And we'll be talking with the curator of the barber pole a little bit later, Andrew, the master barber, to get his take on what is going on. We had the Corey Lewandowski hearings yesterday. Did you tear yourself away to watch some of that? It was kind of bizarre. Not just kind of bizarre, it was bizarre. And we're going to talk with Andrew about that as well. And also, ever watch that judge on Fox News, Andrew Napolitano? Well, he has written a piece about how Donald Trump is violating the Constitution. So we're going to talk about that as well. We're going to read a little bit of what he has to say. And in our Freedom Works Ultimate Top 10, the top 10 most dangerous places to walk in the country. And you're going to be very surprised, you people in Florida. Or maybe you won't be so surprised. So stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, we're sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. You want the best haircut in Tampa Bay at a great price? You got to get over to Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza, just north of Route 580, Main Street 580 there in Dunedin. And it's a great haircut. It's a price that can't be beat. You're going to have a great, if you like to talk politics, you'll love going there. Andrew, as you will know, if you haven't heard him when he comes on our show a little bit later on, does not hold back. Very interesting man. But a great master barber, that's the main thing. And if you want a great haircut, I cannot recommend a better place than Andrew's Master Barbershop. By the way, thanks to Big Ed, we have a podcast. And you can visit our website and listen to our show anytime, thanks to Ed, ourfreedomworks.com. Go up there. I think it's on the top right. Says the word podcast. Click on it. You'll see who the guest is. You'll also see what our top 10 is. I think our top 10 is one of our most interesting things. I think a lot of people just tune into the show to wait for the top 10. That's why, by the way, we do it at the end of the show. We want you to listen to what we're going to say. Well, let's see. We got a lot to talk about. I'm going to talk a little bit later with Andrew, the master barber, about this Corey Lewandowski hearing. It was taking place yesterday. I think it was about 5 hours. And I use the word bizarre. I shouldn't use it. Probably expected is more like what turned out. Lewandowski, basically under orders to just say what he had to say in terms of his meetings with Donald Trump. Now, the House Judiciary Committee is trying desperately. The leaders in the Democratic Party that are on the committee are trying desperately to make Donald Trump look bad. And ultimately, the whole game they're playing is to take back the presidency. You know that. But after nearly 5 hours of beating on this poor guy, Corey Lewandowski, by the way, he was Trump's campaign manager. He didn't serve after Trump became president. He was just the campaign manager before Trump won. And he was stonewalling the committee for quite a while, refused to answer many of their questions, much to the frustration of Jerry Nadler. Nadler said Lewandowski's, quote, behavior in this hearing room has been completely unacceptable. And he said, holding him in contempt is certainly under consideration. Well, they're not going to do anything with Lewandowski. And Lewandowski didn't do anything wrong. And Trump didn't do anything wrong talking to him. They're trying desperately to find out if there's some sort of conspiracy that Lewandowski was engaged in regarding all of the things to do with the Mueller report and Jim Comey and all of that stuff. And poor old Lewandowski, there's really not a lot that he has to say anyway. So Lewandowski was sitting there and for 5 hours just kind of answering as little as possible, I guess you could say. And that was the way it went. Also, Trump went to New Mexico a couple of nights ago, had a good time. He's trying to capture that state because it's basically a blue state recently for presidents. In other words, Democratic. It's a Democratic state. And he's hoping to bolster his chances there. You know, he's not doing that bad with legal U.S. citizens that are of Hispanic background. He's doing quite well. And he wants to get those people on board and keep them on board. He talked about economic prosperity. He doubled down on his immigration plans and building that wall, much to the happiness of the people that were surrounding him. He was in Rio Rancho, by the way, New Mexico. About half of the people in the state, and there's about 2 million, half of them identify as Hispanic or Latino. So, obviously, it's an important state if he can grab it. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, Kerry McDonald of the Cato Institute, we're going to talk about the benefits of homeschooling.
Oh, and I'm the type of guy who will never settle down. Where pretty girls are, well, you know that I'm around. I kiss them and I love them, cause to me they're all the same. I hug them and I squeeze them, they don't even know my name. They call me the Wanderer.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hello out there. Tune in every Saturday at noon on Tan Talk for Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers. Every Saturday at noon, we will find resources, education, and a shoulder for the caregivers. I know it's tough, but we can work it out together. Look forward to you tuning in on Saturdays at noon, where you'll have tons of information. Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers.
Hi, I'm Lou Angelwolf, and I've had a lot of shows on Tantalk over the years, but our latest adventure is IMHO.love, in my humble opinion.love. It's about humor and aha moments, and of course, we share every week with our teacher into the exoconsciousness, Michael Merberg.
Yes, here you'll learn a little bit about the Tao and how the best lives are lived simply and with patience and compassion.
And we're waiting for you to listen in with us on Wednesday nights at 7:30 here on Tantalk Radio Network.
MyPillow's best offer ever. Get a two-pack of MyPillow Premium for $69.98. That's only $34.99 per pillow, which is the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. This offer is only available at MyPillow.com or call 1-800-954-9168. Use promo code BILL. That's 1-800-954-9168 or online at MyPillow.com. Promo code BILL.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works on this Wednesday. Thank you so very much for joining us. And we are delighted to have Carrie McDonald of the Great Cato Institute, or I should say she's actually the Senior Education Fellow at the Foundation for Economic Freedom, which aligns itself with the Cato Institute. And she's written a wonderful piece, which you can find on the Cato website, a very interesting piece, about homeschooling and educational freedom, why school choice is good for homeschoolers. Carrie, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I am very interested, and we are very interested, in the entire concept of school choice on this program. We've been talking about it for many years, and there is, in my mind, so much frustration about allowing parents the idea of having the choice as to what to do with their children. And of course, homeschooling is an important part of that. And tell me a little bit about the evolution of homeschooling. It's a very interesting topic. It's been around for a while, correct?
Right. So the modern homeschooling movement really began in earnest in the late 1970s, first with sort of progressive liberals looking for alternatives, and then quickly growing through the conservative Christian population throughout the 1980s. And in 1999, when the U.S. Department of Education began tracking homeschooling numbers for the first time, they counted about 850,000 homeschoolers in 1999. And that number jumped, according to their data, to 1.8 million just a few years later by 2012. So tremendous growth in the homeschooling population. Other sort of non-federal data show that homeschooling, the population could be over 2.5 million young people at the K-12 level. So it's really grown from sort of a fringe act of looking for alternatives in the late 1970s to now a mainstream option for many families. And with the growth in the homeschooling population has come much geographic diversity, the demographic diversity, and ideological diversity. And we see sort of the ways in which homeschooling and school choice complement each other and kind of lead us toward educational freedom.
Wow. Well, I always worry a little bit about, and every state has, you know, specific rules for getting a diploma in high school, et cetera. How do the homeschoolers, in general, do homeschoolers have to take a test at the end of their homeschooling period to be promoted? There must be some connection to the state in general, right?
No, they generally don't need to take a test. Homeschoolers are usually exempted from any kind of graduation requirement in a homeschool, like in a high school graduation requirement. Certain states do require homeschoolers to take periodic standardized testing.
Okay.
But in terms of a graduation requirement, that wouldn't be a key piece because homeschoolers, in most cases, wouldn't be searching for a high school diploma, a state-issued high school diploma, which is why they're kind of choosing the homeschooling path instead. And there are these alternative pathways to college. In fact, many colleges nowadays seek out homeschoolers because often they perform quite well in college. They're eager learners. They have that kind of curiosity and drive to learn and discover. And so colleges are seeking them out. In fact, Business Insider indicated that homeschooling might be the smartest way to teach kids in the 21st century.
Well, you know, with the internet and everything, too, you can pick up a lot of things off the internet in terms of teaching your child. But the parents have to invest the time to do it correctly. I mean, in general, do we find that homeschooled children are at or above those that, for instance, are educated in the public school system?
Yeah, I think that the data show that homeschoolers are at or above their public school peers. There hasn't been sort of a control group study, so much of the data, even though it's extensive and peer-reviewed, is often based on sort of self-selected samples of homeschoolers, so there can be, you know, kind of inherent bias in the research there. But the data that we do have show that homeschoolers are at or above their public school peers. They do just as fine in college as students who were conventionally schooled. And I think you're right. This point about technology is so critical, because the idea that, you know, you need to have the parents kind of sitting around teaching the kids everything that the kids need to know is really outdated, that now at our fingertips we have so much access to so many online resources and technology tools that help young people to learn what they need to know. And then again, because of this tremendous growth in the overall homeschooling population, there's so many more resources available to homeschooling families than there were just a couple of decades ago. So many more classes and activities and support groups. And then what I also talk about in the Cato paper that you mentioned is using homeschooling as sort of a platform for education innovation. So you'll often have these learning centers or homeschooling resource programs that are really supplementing the kind of in-home learning that's happening.
Sure. We're talking with Carrie McDonald. She is a senior education fellow at the Foundation for Economic Freedom, and she has penned a very interesting piece, which you can find on the Cato website, Homeschooling and Educational Freedom, Why School Choice is Good for Homeschoolers. Now, school choice itself, and here in Florida, it's become a very big thing. More and more kids are opting out of the public school system, many of them going into private schools. We have a voucher program, which is funded through businesses here. And it's working quite well overall. In fact, as you know better than I do, the school choice programs across the country are springing up and doing well. So homeschooling plays a part in this. And I would suspect new innovations and the like also come out because of this homeschooling. I mean, is this helping overall the educational philosophy, you know, in general for how to better educate kids?
Right. So I think one key point is that homeschoolers are often reticent about embracing school choice mechanisms like education savings accounts or voucher programs or tax credit scholarships that might impact homeschoolers or include homeschoolers. And rightfully so, because they're worried about increased regulation that might come with some kind of public money associated with it. And what I wanted to do in this Cato paper is show that in states like Florida that have robust education choice mechanisms, it's good for homeschoolers whether or not they receive any of that money. So just this climate of education choice, of parents looking for alternatives to their default district school, creates an environment of other parents looking for alternatives, recognizing that they have some choices to make, and that can lead more families into homeschooling. Again, whether or not they are actually personally benefiting from any kind of education choice mechanism like an education savings account.
Now, do parents that want to homeschool, never done it before, but think they can do it, what would you suggest to them in terms of getting resources to prepare them? Let's say they've got, just for the sake of argument, they've had a child in grade school for a few years, maybe the child is now about 10 or 11 years old, and they want to take them home and they can invest the time, et cetera. But they need to find resources and anyhow to. So would you give them any advice that way?
Right. So first of all, homeschooling is legal in all 50 states and has been legally recognized in all 50 states since 1993. And each state has different laws governing the requirements of homeschoolers. So the first thing to do if you're thinking about removing your child from school or not enrolling them to begin with is to look at your local state requirements for homeschooling. And the best way to do that is really to connect with local homeschooling support groups. Every state has, you know, these sort of grassroots organizations that support local homeschoolers and can kind of give you the ins and outs of what's required in your state. Simply Google your state and homeschooling, and you'll find a wealth of information. And then from there, again, these online resources are so critical for initially giving parents support. They can find information on various curricula. They can find different activities. They can find different peer groups for their kids. They can find these learning centers and resource organizations that can help provide additional support. So there's just a wealth of knowledge, and again, the internet would be the place to begin.
Yeah, you know, they and they have to make that commitment, don't they? Because they may have good intentions, and I'm worried about the kids that, you know, parents start out and they do a, you know, a good job, but they sort of start waning on their efforts to teach the children. I mean, they've got to be able to keep up that commitment as well, right?
Yeah, you know, I have a lot of faith in families that they want the best for their kids and will do what they can to make sure that their children are getting a top-notch education. And I don't think homeschoolers are any different. I think that they have actually taken a giant leap in reasserting control of their children's education. But again, not necessarily always being the one to provide all of that instruction. Now they can source so much more of that learning and that teaching to various resources in their larger community and online. Another interesting model that I talk about in the Cato piece is that in some states, like in California, there are public charter school, homeschool hybrid models that make this option so much more accessible to more families who otherwise may not be able to make that full commitment because it's expensive or you need to have always have a parent at home. And what this does is enable young people to attend a setting, a school, for 2 days a week doing project-based homeschooling through the charter school, and then the rest of the time either be at home or again out in these kind of community resource centers getting additional instruction. So that's another way that homeschooling is really shifting from what we might kind of stereotypically think as kids sitting around the kitchen table being taught by their parents to a much broader opportunity to launch education innovation.
We're talking with Carrie McDonald. Again, she is a senior education fellow at the Foundation for Economic Freedom and has written a piece, Homeschooling and Educational Freedom, Why School Choice is Good for Homeschoolers. And you mentioned, Carrie, the long-held stereotype of homeschooling families as white, middle class, and Christian is changing. So minorities are getting more involved in it too?
That's right. So the population of Hispanic homeschoolers is now about one quarter of all homeschoolers, which is comparable to the K-12 distribution of Hispanic young people. So that's impressive. The population of Black homeschoolers is doubled
wow.
between 2007 and 2012. So that population is growing. And then you also have, you know, people choosing to homeschool for very different reasons. In fact, the U.S. Department of Education says that based on their survey data, finds that the top reason, the top motivator that parents have for choosing homeschooling is dissatisfaction with the environment of other schools. So that's the primary reason that parents are choosing homeschooling is that they're dissatisfied with their local school option.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you finally, if I might, Carrie, an overall question about the quality of our educational system. This is a, you know, just very general. Is it going up because of school choice and homeschooling? Is it staying the same, or is it going down?
Well, I think everyone's definition of quality would be different, but I think there's so much hope in seeing parents being re-empowered to take control of their children's education, whether it's again through homeschooling or through these school choice mechanisms like education savings accounts and tax credit scholarships. puts parents back in the driver's seat, that they're the ones who can coordinate their overall education, that they don't have to be stuck with this kind of default school based on their zip codes, and that they can find the best educational fit for their child. And if you think about it, finding that best fit for your child, for your family, is going to lead to much better outcomes overall.
Well, it's been a real pleasure talking with you, Carrie. Very, very important topic and a great piece that you wrote. And I thank you so very much. Hope to talk with you again soon.
That would be great. Thanks.
There she is, Carrie McDonald of the Cato Institute. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we will be joined by the curator, the proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew the Master Barber. So don't go away.
Come on, let me show you where it's at.
The name of the place is
I like it like that.
Come on.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Are you looking for a job? Join me, Gene Hodge, on the Employment Opportunity Hour, Thursdays from 7 to 8 p.m., where I will tell you and share with you, as well as answer all of your questions and help you find enjoyable employment instead of a job. This is the only talk show that talks about everyone who makes up our workforce. Join me on the Employment Opportunity Hour every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. on the Employment Opportunity Hour.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. I want to remind you that Freedom Works is sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Best haircut you can get in Tampa Bay is in Dunedin, in one of his barber chairs. He's got three or four of them there. And I'll tell you what, they do a wonderful job. They're located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin, just north of Route 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Great haircut, great price, great ambiance, great guy. And speaking of great guy, we got him with us, the proprietor.
Oh.
Yeah, how are you, my friend?
Good, my friend. How are you doing today?
We're doing good. We're having a lot of fun. And, you know, we're talking about all kinds of different things. And my goodness, we got a lot to talk about with you.
Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you, first of all, how about Joe Biden's big blunder the other day? He's going to create 720 million jobs for women. There's only 320 million people in this country.
Well, that's all right. That means that if he's going to be able to double the population with women.
We got it made.
Well, they're all going to work about five jobs, according to my math on this one.
Unbelievable. I don't know about this guy. What did you think about that show yesterday, huh? With Humpty Dumpty's twin there, Mr. Nader, and Corey Lewandowski.
Well, we were talking about that a little earlier, and I said I was looking forward to talking with you about it, Andrew, because, first of all, it just continues. The more they show this kind of stuff, I think the better it is for Donald Trump, because it makes these people look like they got nothing better to do than to make him look bad, but it ends up boomeranging on them.
Oh, every time. You think they would learn. He made a perfect fool out of them yesterday. far as I'm concerned.
I think he did, too. What was it, about 5 hours that they were going at? I couldn't watch.
5 hours to be made a fool. If I was Nader, I would have stopped that long before that.
Yeah.
But he don't know any better. Even if he's been in Congress like for 50 years.
Yes, he's been there an awful long time. I don't know why they keep reelecting him. Well, you know, that's New York for you. The guy comes from,
comes
from New York.
The rotten apple.
The rotten apple. They keep reelecting this guy. I think he is, I don't know why. First of all, why do they even put him off the head of the Judiciary Committee? I mean, what are they doing, you know?
Who else do they got? They got nobody else either. They're all a bunch of fools. Every one of them that asked questions up there yesterday, it was like a moron.
Oh, well, they were doing nothing but trying to attack this poor guy, Corey Lewandowski.
And he was laughing all the way.
Yeah, he was, you know, the guy's pretty smart. Pretty
he's slick as they come, my friend. Slick as they come.
He was. Now, I want to ask you also, about, did you watch any of the Trump New Mexico?
I don't know. You got to be kidding me. Of course I watched.
Of course you did. And I thought, as usual, he was doing a very interesting job. He's trying desperately to pick up. Now, they got about 2+ million people. About half of them are Hispanic or Latino.
Of course. It's the border country, buddy.
Do you think he can win that state in 2020?
You know, you're going to laugh, but, you know, I was watching Hannity last night. I don't watch him that often because I'm really not that crazy.
You're talking about Sean Hannity on Fox News.
Yes, yes. But, you know, I think he's going to take New Mexico. And this is a far shot. I think he's going to get California.
There must be something wrong with my audio. I think you're I think I heard you
He's in California yesterday and today. Okay?
Yeah.
And I've been watching them interviewing people from Los Angeles, San Francisco. These people are fed up with what is going on in their cities.
You would think they would be. You would think voters would be. There are two huge things going on. The homeless population.
They can't even go through their business without being trampled down. Homeless people, feces all over the streets. They said it's disgusting.
It is.
Trump is in California yesterday and today. And do you know he's raising over $15 million there?
He's amazing at raising money, I must say. The Republican Party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, just like I said, it's not too far-fetched, but I think he's going to do California.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Let me write this down.
I called the shot on the election, and on this one here, from what I'm hearing with the people, they're fed up, man. They're really fed up. Okay. Unless you know, let's face it, we know that all their elections have been crooked over there. They admit it themselves.
Well, you've got the immigration issue, and any citizen of any of those border states, I would think, would like to see security increased, and that includes the people in California. It can't be that many that are that ignorant what's going on at the border,
The Hispanics that I talk to that come in here legally are very, very offended of the people that are coming in here illegally and getting benefits and everything else because of what they had to go through. So let me tell you, I think you might see a flip over there. Now, and if he does this, that's going to make history for the guy.
I mean, if he, let's be honest, if California goes for Trump, if California goes for Trump, the winning percentage between Trump and the Democrat would be like 80% to 20%.
You know,
I mean, it would be a tsunami for the Republicans.
Did you ever? I'm quite sure if you watched parts of the Democrat debates as much as you could handle.
Yeah,
just like I did. You know, here's what the Democrats talk about. Okay, Trump impeach. Trump impeach. Free lunch. Free school. Free college. Okay, illegal immigration. Illegals can vote. That's all they talk about. Listen to what Trump talks about: the economy, world relations. Okay, unemployment. I mean, the guy's into everything. You imagine if our president didn't make us self-sufficient with our energy where we'd be today with what's going on in the Middle East?
No, you got a good point.
Our gasoline would be $5 a gallon. But you don't hear anybody saying, hey, you don't thank God for what the president did. He made us oil independent. Okay?
Speaking,
and not only did he make us independent, but let's face it, he's crippling the Middle East and he's crippling Russia because their main exports are oil. You know, the Arab nations built Dubai, the city of gold, with our money. With OPEC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, if we were still in their control, we didn't have our own oil, like Obama and everybody else stopped, oh, you can't do the oil, it's polluting the air, we'd be paying $5 a gallon and I'll be riding mopeds, buddy.
We're talking with Andrew the Master Barber, the proprietor of the Barber Pole. He has his ear to the ground. He knows what the common man really is talking about.
I hear it all day. Yeah. I hear it all day. I hear a lot of Democrats. You know, the Democrat conversions come into my barbershop, I can tell you that. They come in, they get converted, and they get baptized to be a Trumplican.
Well, that's... You even have a sink there where you put their head and you put a little water on top of them. That's very nice. Very nice ceremony. I've seen them do it.
But, now, yeah.
Speaking of the oil situation, I want to ask you what you think Donald Trump should do regarding the attack by Iran, and we know it was Iran, on Saudi Arabia's oil fields. They knocked out a goodly portion there the other day. Should we get involved in that?
What are you talking about, militarily?
Yeah, militarily.
Militarily, you know what I would tell the Saudis? You know what? You've got all kinds of equipment here to take care of the Iranian. It's about time you people stand up and get out from under those bed sheets you're wearing to take care of your country. That's what I'd be telling them. But if we got to get involved, you know, we could choke them to death with sanctions. That's why they're going crazy as it is.
They are.
You also got to realize who's coaching Iran. You got John Kerry going over there telling them how to get Trump with Ditto. If they can get Trump out of office, they'll be happy. They would have loved Hillary in there. She would have given them another $150 billion.
Do you think that
okay.
the... Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I don't want to stop you, but I was going to ask you, do you think the sanctions that Trump is imposing on Iran is making them so desperate that they're becoming more dangerous?
That's right.
So they're becoming more dangerous because of the sanctions.
That's right.
More dangerous.
They're causing it, and you know what?
We don't want them more dangerous, do we? We don't want Iran dangerous.
Let the Middle Eastern people, let the Saudis take care of it, the Jordanians. They should be able to take care of this. They got plenty of supplies, plenty of military supplies from us. They could take care of that themselves. They should just go blast their oil fields.
But they don't have all that much weapon technology, do they? And the Saudi
Arabia. Well, they buy a lot of it from us. I know that
they do. But I think they've been relying on the United States. Here's another interesting thing. Why doesn't Saudi Arabia align itself with Israel to thwart Iran? And maybe Israel can be the protector of Saudi Arabia.
You're right. I agree with you. I agree with you. But, you know, you're going to see that go down over there. And as far as we should just stay back and watch what happens right now. As long as they're not messing with us, let it go.
I want to come back real briefly to the Democrats and, in particular, the one you really like, Senator Elizabeth Warren, was on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. You ever watched that show?
Nah, I know I don't waste my time watching. When they took Leno off and they put all these morons in there, I gave that up a long time ago.
Well, believe it or not, Colbert held Elizabeth Warren's feet to the fire on how to pay for the health care plan. Here's what he said. He said to her, you keep being asked in the debates, how are you going to pay for your health care plan? Are you going to be raising the middle class taxes? How are you going to pay for it? Are you going to be raising the middle class taxes, he asked. So she goes, so here's how we're going to do this. Costs are going to go up for the wealthiest Americans for a big quarter. You know, she goes into her regular spiel. He stops her. But will the middle class taxes go up? Then she goes, but here's the thing. And he goes, but here's the thing. I've listened to these answers a few times before, and I want to make a parallel suggestion to you. Defend the taxes. In other words, he's telling her, just be honest about the fact that middle-class taxes are going to go up. She keeps dodging that. So it was kind of interesting. Yeah.
Let me tell you, Elizabeth Warren will take money out of church baskets on Sundays to pay for her health care program.
No, she won't. She'll be back on the reservation doing a war dance. Now, you know that.
You know, I would love to see her in a debate with President Trump, because every question they're going to ask her, she's going to use just a couple words. Hate Trump, free. You know what I'm saying? Trump could be nailing her with everything that's going on. And that's all she's going to say. Well, just like these hearings. These hearings aren't going anywhere. All they're doing is try to appease their Democrat base, you know, the way left. That, oh, we're going to get him impeached. They ain't doing nothing.
No, they're
not. These hearings are all a waste of time.
And another thing
that's... Time and our money.
Another thing that's helping the Republicans is the way they're treating Kavanaugh again.
Oh,
the judge,
you know,
the Supreme Court.
They're trying
court
to
judge.
Distract. They're trying to distract because they're afraid this IG report's going to come out. Okay? And they're afraid that's going to come out. They don't know what's in it. And I'll tell you what, Paul, they're going down. They are going down, believe me.
It sounds
like. The minute they get McCabe.
Andrew
they
McCabe.
They put an indictment on him, and they put Andrew McCabe with an indictment on him, he's going to start singing like a canary.
I bet he's been sitting with his lawyers more than he's been at home these days, you know that?
Yeah, I'm free.
Getting ready for the big one.
He knows it's coming, and like I say, when they do, what's he going to do? I'm going to take the fifth. He's not going to answer nothing.
Maybe
that's going to incriminate him even more.
Maybe they could combine the trials of Comey and McCabe. We could save the taxpayers some money if we had them both.
I'm quite sure you combine a bunch of them in it, believe me.
Yes, indeed.
Believe me. Hey, let's face it. They can say what they want. This was a coup in this country against a duly elected president, sir.
Yeah.
Period.
No,
and
you're
something
right.
Has got to be done. If they get away with this, people will have no faith in the government whatsoever, and you're going to see everybody committing crimes because they can get away with it.
It would be very
let's
scary.
Face it, the police can't do nothing no more, right?
I think it would be very scary. I think you're absolutely right. They've got to lower the boom on people that do this kind of a thing. And one other thing. What about those FISA court judges or the judge that allowed the surveillance to occur? I mean, that guy should have known better.
They all knew better, Paul. Every one of them knew what was going on all the way up to, I hate to even say, President Obama. Okay? I'm embarrassed to say that word in front of his name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he all the way up knew about it. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he helped orchestrate it all.
Well, he certainly should have known. He certainly should have known
about
it.
You know he knew, Paul. You know he knew.
There's just no
way. He knew everything that was going on.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's where the rubber will meet the road if they decide they're going to, you know, push this thing all the way up to see if it lands at the doorstep of Barack Obama and his knowledge.
Right. You know that it's going to. What are they going to do? Stop it at that point when his name is brought up with everybody underneath him?
Well, I'll tell you what, if that's the case, fasten your seatbelts, my friend. It's going to be a very bumpy ride.
No, there's no question about it. But, you know, the American people need to know what's going on. And they have to don't understand what's going on. It's going to have to learn real quick.
Yeah, I think you're right. It is always a pleasure to talk with Andrew the Master Barber, and we're going to be talking with him again on Friday morning. So, Andrew, thank you so very much. I'll let you get back to your
car. You got it, Paul. Have a good day, buddy.
Thank you, sir. Andrew the Master Barber, again, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. All right, going to take our final break. When we come back, this guy, Judge Andrew Napolitano, he's written a piece about how Donald Trump is violating the Constitution.
Here she comes.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Initialize sequence.
Hey, what up, you guys? It's your girl, Vivica Fox.
This is Kelly Preston. I'm so excited.
Hey, this is Vern Sawyer.
I'm Kirstie Alley.
I'm Kathleen Gatti from General Hospital, Dr. Liesl Obrecht.
Hello, I'm Butch Patrick.
John Schneider, you're listening to Dawn Reese on Hollywood Connection.
Lights, camera, action.
Hollywood Connections is here to help you get connected in show business.
So get connected and listen to Hollywood Connections. Fridays, 8 to 9 p.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Enjoy.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? Tune in to the Ameritech Connection every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network. That's 1340 AM and 106.1 FM. Right, Sharon?
That's right, Mike. We cover it all when it comes to deed-restricted communities. We have the answers to all of your questions and more on the Ameritech Connection every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works for the final portion of our show, and we thank you again for being with us. Remember, go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, and you can listen to our show at any time because Big Ed sets up our podcasts. All our programs are there. You'll know who the guest is by looking on the podcast page, and you'll also know what the top 10 is. So a couple of, sad story about Cokie Roberts. Ed, did you know who Cokie Roberts was? Cokie Roberts was a journalist. She was on ABC, and she used to do a lot of NPR broadcasting. Did you know who she was?
Yeah, I knew she was a very good reporter. Towards the end there, I think the last thing she really got her feet into, again, was the presidential debates.
Right.
Yeah, but the whole thing against Trump was just getting disgusting anyway, but she just fell in line with...
Well, she was a liberal.
Yeah, I know. But no, she was very smooth, very talented woman.
Yes.
And, you know.
And she was the daughter, you know, of a politician.
Yeah.
A guy by the name of Hale Boggs.
Yeah.
So she came from a political family. She died at the age of 75, breast cancer. She died yesterday morning. And I used to watch her, gosh, forever. Mm. I mean, she was on This Week with David Brinkley all the way back. She served with Sam Donaldson on This Week back in the late 90s through 2002. She was on CBS. She was on ABC News. A real pioneer for women, and she was a classy woman. So we wanted to salute her.
And it was nice of ABC News to cut into programming during the day when she did pass away to give her a little tribute.
So yes,
classy of them.
Yes, it was classy of them. Also, did you know that you know who the oldest remaining World War II veteran is? How old he is? I know. You'd have to take a guess.
At least 100.
110.
Wow.
110. His name is Lawrence Brooks. He's considered the oldest living World War II vet. He lives in Louisiana. He's an African American. He was born in 1909. He would be old enough to remember World War I as a boy. And so he's considered the oldest. They had a picture of the guy. He looks pretty good. He uses a walker. He's blind in one eye. But his health otherwise is very good. And he's never had any major diseases. So there you go. 110. Wow, just celebrating his birthday. Well, Judge Andrew Napolitano has written a piece called Trump Violates the Constitution. And he says, does the president have too much power? He says that question has been asked with respect to Trump's planned use of funds to construct all of these barriers along the southern border. He said after Congress expressly declined to give him that money, Trump signed into law the legislation that denied him the funds and then spent the money anyway. He says the question regarding presidential power has always been asked with respect to Trump's imposition of sales taxes. Now, Trump calls them tariffs, and he says the question of presidential power has been asked in his ordered mistreatment of families seeking asylum in the U.S. by separating parents in defiance of a court order. So Napolitano questions that as well. And he said, the power of a president is not an academic one, nor is it a question unique to the Trump presidency. It has been risen numerous times before Trump, but the way Trump's employment of presidential powers is used now has brought it to public scrutiny. Now, he says the Constitution was written in the aftermath of the American Revolution, and the colonists, prodded by radicals like Sam Adams and Patrick Henry and Thomas Jefferson, profoundly rejected the idea of a king or a god. They argued that each individual was sovereign and a repository of natural rights. So when it came time to craft a new government, the drafters, led by Jefferson's friend James Madison, were making sure no one would be king, that Congress would write the laws. And he goes on to say in this piece that not just Trump, but a lot of presidents bypass laws or bypass the rules that say only Congress can appropriate the money. He mentions in particular the money that he's taking from the budget in the Pentagon from the military to use for funding a border wall. But I say that that Pentagon money can be appropriated for security on the southern border. It's part of our military defense, I think. So, but it's very interesting.
Then they're going to get all that money from El Chapo, all that money they seized from him, and use that towards the wall.
They should.
$150 million.
Absolutely. It should go directly towards building a wall, I think.
We'll even dedicate it to him, you know?
Any of the funding that comes from all of that drug use, why not put it towards the wall?
Yeah, that's a good point.
People would feel good about that.
Look what the police do when you're caught dealing or something like that in a car. They seize your car, they impound it, and they sell it.
That's right. They keep the proceeds, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're very, very right about that. Okay, if you are a person that likes to walk around on the street, you'll want to hear this top 10 we've got. These are the top 10 most dangerous places to be a pedestrian. And you're going to find some very interesting things about Florida in this. So without further ado, this is, by the way, from Smart Growth America. And let me tell you ahead of time, did you know almost 50,000 people walking as pedestrians have been killed between 2008 and 2017? 50,000.
Mm.
That's really, really scary, I think. Okay, here we go. Top 10 most dangerous places to walk. Number 10, Jackson, Mississippi. Now, I don't know what it is about Jackson, Mississippi, but you better stay off the street there. Number 9, here, Tampa, St. Pete, Clearwater is number 9.
Yeah.
900 deaths in Tampa, St. Pete, Clearwater between 2008 and 2017. 900. Now, we got U.S. 19, Ed. I think too many people trying to cross 19.
One of those things I think, real quickly, is, you know those flashing lights that you push the button across?
Yeah.
People think just because you push the button, you just start walking.
No.
There's a lot of people that don't realize it's law. You have to stop.
Oh, my God.
But
be crazy.
They don't even look both ways. They just hit the button and start walking.
They have to be really stupid, with all due respect. Number 8. Fort Myers, Cape Coral, Florida. They had 148 deaths between those two times. Number 7, Bakersfield, California. I think that's in Southern California. I'm not positive. Anyway, number 6, Jacksonville, Florida. Do you notice? Do you keep hearing all these Florida places coming up? Isn't this interesting? Number 5, Lakeland, Florida. Lakeland, Winter Haven, Florida. Yeah. What's going on here? Number 4, Sarasota, Bradenton. This is all Florida. Number 3, Palm Bay, Titusville, Melbourne, Florida. See what I mean? Number 2, Daytona Beach, Florida. And Deltona is over there, too. So there you go. That's the top 9. Here's the number 1. Ed, do you know what the number 1 place is?
How about Miami, Florida?
You know, that's a good guess. Really. But it's not Miami. It's Orlando. All those poor people walking towards Disney World and SeaWorld are getting hit. We got to be careful.
So Freedom Works tip of the day, if you want to walk around, stay out of Florida.
Stay out of Florida, for sure. All right, my friends, thank you so very much. Thank you for listening to us. And by the way, stay tuned for the Craft Beer Hour with Kenny Bieber. Oh, you got to listen to that. It'll follow the news. But always remember, Freedom Works.
Squeeze my heart. Goes round and round, my love gonna tumble me down. You leave me breathless.